Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Benny is counting sheep or doing something, but our producer this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's John Boudreau.
What's up, man?
I just wonder where Benny went.
I usually go see a man about a dog, but I don't know this.
I thought I was popping a squat.
Literally. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, folks. Just saw a giant gar caught on television during the break. Big old alligator gar. All right, let's head down south. Let's talk to Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, what is up?
What's going on, Mickey?
Oh,
all
man.
Right, man.
Living the dream, brother. LTD.
Yeah. Man, it's been a foggy son of a gun down here, man. I'm going to tell you what. You talk about fog. We've had that sea fog, which is just unbelievable.
I believe the whole coast from Venice, yeah, Louisiana, yeah, all the way past you was solid fog last this past week. Goodness gracious.
I had some really good fishermen on Tuesday. I've had them three times in a row, and every time they come, it's blowing 50 miles an hour. Something's going on, and they called a week before they came this time and said, hey, man, we got it. Looks like the wind's going to be down. And in the back of my mind, I said, you watch the fog be in. And we set the dock till 11 o'clock. We couldn't even see the pier at Market 30. You can't even see the pier. I mean,
it
it's
gets
that bad.
So bad down there, man. Yeah. You can't even see the front of your boat.
No, and it's that real dark. When the light comes, it's almost black in front of the boat. And, you know, your GPS is not a radar, you know, and you can run your track, but who knows what's going to be in that track. So
right.
We finally got out there about 11 o'clock and I couldn't get to where, you know, where I want to go is a good 40-mile run. And I knew that fog was coming back. It's been coming back around 3 or 4 o'clock. And so I get to this one nice flat and it was one of those flats that had everything. It had grass, had mud, had shell, had sand. It was kind of like that Chinese dish, Happy Family. Everything was there, Bubba.
Right.
And, so we pull out in that flat, and I'm thinking, man, there's some good bait flipping here, some good 10-inch mullet, and it's looking good. I'm kind of getting pumped. And I set my bird dogs out, and these guys are good, man. And I set these guys out in that flat, and I'm sitting there, yeah, they're going to blow up any minute. And they caught some, you know, some redfish and some 4-pound trout, but they never did catch that really big fish. And I just couldn't figure out why, because I knew those fish were in there. I'd be walking, Mickey, and see a big burn out in front of me, you know, where a big fish had left.
Uh-huh.
And they just weren't eating in there. So, like a dummy, I pulled out of that flat and started searching, and I probably should have stayed there. And, you know, we got in the wind. By then, the wind was up. You know, it went from fog to 40-mile-an-hour wind. That's just the way we've been rolling down here. But,
we
ended up catching fish that day, but we fished till 5 o'clock, and all of a sudden that fog started rolling in again. And, you know, we barely made it in. We got within about 3 or 4 miles of the marina, and it just fogged in again. But it's been tough. But one of those guys, I was laughing, he fishes with your buddy Maurice Escobar, I think his last name.
Yeah, Eschenbaum. Yeah, Maurice. Escobar. Yeah.
Yeah, Maurice. He's talking about what a great fisherman that guy was.
Oh, yeah. Maurice is just he's everything. He's a great humanitarian. I'll just put it like that, you know.
Yeah, they were bragging on him. They had a little twitch bait that just came out. That was, I think, a twitching mullet or something. And Jim was fishing with it, and boy, that thing had some action. But he said that that boy really put it on him, man. Maurice really put him on that bait. But you know, if I could get a little more time in the woods, a little more time in the water, besides the fog, we'd catch some good fish. But God Almighty, the fog's just been whacking us down here. And then of course we went to yesterday to 40-mile-an-hour north wind out of the fog. So.
That's
hadn't
crazy.
Had a lot of good fishing time, but they're here, Mickey. They caught some good fish in that tournament last weekend.
That's what I was going to bring up to you, the legends, man. Them boys, Lloyd and them on day two caught over 30 pounds, 4 fish.
Yeah, I know it. And I talked to Jake several times, you know, and it was a cool thing what he did. Jake Lulinski, he's a guy now that owns that Johnny Sports Shop.
Yeah, Jake Ludicky. Yeah, him and
Brett
Sweeney.
What a great guy.
Yeah, they all fish together. Boy, they're all good fishermen. They're great guys.
Yeah, and they're classy guys. They were on some fish 2 days before the tournament back in Nueces Basin, a big school of big fish. And the guy that showed them that spot was in that tournament. And so they respected him and pulled out of there, did not fish that spot in the tournament.
Probably Jimmy Lloyd.
Yeah,
that's where Jimmy Lloyd likes to fish, but you know, and that's the kind of guys they are. They, you know,
yeah, they are. Yeah, that was really classy of them. And they go, we're gonna go, you know, go big or go home, and they hit those big fish in this pocket. And They caught three fish over 8 pounds. I throw one fish over 8 pounds back. I mean, when you're calling 8 pounders, buddy, you're having a good day.
Yeah, well, so, you know, each one of them, you can keep one over 25, right. But Sweeney caught two over eight. And he had to turn one loose.
Yeah. And I seen Jay do that one time in a tournament where our last fish had to be, I think, under 25 inches. And he catches one about 28, and it's a fat pig. And he just unhooks it, just puts it back in the water. Don't even think about it. Makes another cast, you know, like, you know, that won't work. Didn't even think about it, you know. But, yeah, that was good tournament. And I tell you what, they did a great job of keeping those fish alive. A lot of it was the waves were down. It was real calm, and they didn't get beat up. But most of those fish survived, and they looked really good in those tanks. I think Chad did a good job keeping those fish alive. But boy, there was some toes called, but a lot of zeros too. A lot of teams didn't catch anything, so you were either on them or you weren't.
Yeah, they went big and they went on home.
Yeah, they did.
That's tournament home, fishing. That's it, man. Yeah, and they may have had you know, some 2 and 3 pounders. They just wouldn't weigh them in. I mean, how can you when you got guys coming up there with 28 and 30 pound sacks?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
might as well leave your little sack in a boat, man. Fillet them up, mm-hmm. Eat them for dinner.
And it's yeah, it's funny because you know, the A team's still around. It's that like I tell everybody, it's you know, those 6, 7 pounders. We're not catching the numbers of them like we normally do, but I think it's a lot to do with the warmer winter. We're not getting those several days of the fish are bunched up in the mud. We're getting a few days are bunched up, but
yeah,
we're not getting day after day of cold. We're in the mud, and we can whack them good. But boy, the 30-inch fish, top end, you know, 29 to 31-inch fish. There's still quite a few numbers of those coming in. I'm hearing people catching them. And, you know, we've caught 4 good fish this year, and I think we're going to catch more in February if we can just get this fog. But I'm with fog. I think it's going to be one of those foggy February.
Yeah, because it's, you know, we get these little cold spells, cool the water back down, then we get the warming trend, then you get the dew point and the water and the air temperature the same, and then here we go again, you know. And especially the Gulf, man, that's the fog maker, is the Gulf of Mexico. Good Lord.
Yeah, and it's that sea fog. You get that light east wind and get that sea fog over there, but that's a different animal right there. And see, my deal is I'm running 40 miles. I'm not just running around, and none of my guys just want to go catch fish. They don't care about going over here to the boat hole and catching 18 to 21-inch fish. They care less about that. They want to get up and
no, they're
water.
Booking you to catch a big fish.
Yep. And so that makes my game a little tougher. It's not only to try to get out in the fog, try to get to a flat that's safe, because a lot of these guys run up tight on the shore and out in the middle of the grass flats where you've got your wade fishermen, and they can't see them to turn off. So I just don't put my people out in those runways like that.
No.
If we're going to fish, I'm going to stick you up in a cove somewhere. I'm going to put the boat in the mouth of the cove where nobody can run over you. But it's just the running to and from your fishing trip is so dangerous now in the fog with the amount of people we have and stuff that I'm waiting until I can at least see a couple hundred yards. I don't care how bad they want to go. I just, you know, I'm safety's first, buddy.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, you just it's not worth the risk. You know, years ago, we used to go wade in the fog and never think anything about it because nobody else was out there. But nowadays, I mean, people, they're going regardless. But back then, you know, we had to navigate by compass only, and a lot of people just didn't know how to do that and were afraid to trust themselves to do it, and they just didn't go. And
I was had a trip with Doug Pike one time, and, man, we were just spanking the big hogs down south. And that fog started rolling in, and all I've got is a compass. And so I just tuck in the King Ranch shoreline, you know, get on the north shore of Bath, and just run down that shoreline. And I'd run so close that, you know, I could see the shore, you know, real close to shoreline. Well, you know, and there'd be a pier sticking out. I'd go, oh, there's a pier, and I'd run around. I think about that. Oh, my God, you know. And I'd run by, I'd say, okay, I'm going to run at 4,000 or 3,000 RPM for 25 minutes, and there's going to be a pier here.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know? That's the way we used to
stuff
do it.
Like
you had
that.
To time it. Yeah.
Yeah, and run around that pier, and I remember Doug Pike going, man, slow this thing down, Cliff. I was excited. We caught a bunch of big fish, and I had that Kenner wide open, buddy. I think I had a big old 150 on it, you know. We were getting it, buddy.
Yeah, big motor back then.
Or maybe a 200. I think it was 200. I had 4 or 5 Kenners in a row with 200s on them. But
yeah.
Heck, I'm on my 40th boat right now, Mickey. That's just nuts, man.
I'm still running my old Kenner, man. I can't kill that boat. It just won't. It
yeah,
won't
they're
die.
Amazing.
They really are. Just an old war wagon. It's had a lot of fish in the bottom of it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I saw one. last year that I'd sold. It's, I don't know, probably 20 boats ago or 15 boats ago, and a guy's still running that thing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, Billy Sheikha ran a Kenner forever, didn't he?
He really did, man. That thing was a little rough too, buddy.
Boy, think that boat ever saw any big trout laying in the bottom of it?
Oh yeah, he did. Oh, Billy. One day, Billy's at the dock and his boat's just a mess. I mean, there's slime all over your carpet and your slime and the rods are all tangled up and there's blood on the console and this guy gets the boat and he's making a comment to Billy. Says, "Man, your boat's dirty." And Billy goes, "This ain't no hospital doc. Get in the boat."
Oh, that sounds like Farmood's boat, man. Talk about gut wagons. But hang on, Cliff. Let me do a Let me do a commercial break.
All right, buddy.
Be right back with you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
My kids hate fish. How can I make it kid friendly?
Well, that's it.
And boy, cheese.
Yeah. Well, fish are so much smarter than us because they've been in schools all their lives.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
I went from a country boy to a city when I moved to Katy's, but.
Yeah, Katy, they made a city slicker out of you, huh? Katy used to be the country.
I know. I used to sit out in my backyard in the underwear and drink beer and throw my beer cans out there and shoot them with the pellet gun. And
not anymore.
You and Captain Benny sure bring us a lot of pleasure around here. Come along about, you know, the weekend. And
yeah.
We sure appreciate you guys.
Well, it's the least we can do, my friend. Ain't nothing to it when you... When you love what you've done all your life for a living, it's easy to talk about it.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 619 in the Bayou City. It's a good guide song, Staying Alive. Trying to survive and stay alive as a guide.
Making a living the old hard way.
That's right.
Earning Actually it. Working for a living.
That's right. Working for a living.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Let's I got a good quote for you on that one. I'll bring it in a little bit.
All right. I'll hold you to that. All right, let's go to Cliff Webb. Cliff, all right, we're back, man.
All right, man. We're talking about people with boats, you know, dirty and rusty old boats. And we had a guy down here a long time ago, Jim Zink, and he was just a good guy. It was one that
I remember him.
You know, 35 years ago, where there's only a handful of guys here, maybe three or four guys. And Jim came in, and Jim inherited a lot of money. He was a very wealthy guy, and he just kind of guided, you know, for the heck of it, something to do.
Yeah.
But you talk about a guy that was cheap and not, God rest his soul, but, you know, he didn't change nothing on the boat, buddy. I mean, you talk about he'd take the WD-40 and he'd spray the steering column in the morning to break it loose so he could steer the boat, you know. He'd have these old rusty lead heads and he'd have a piece of foam stuck on the windshield. He had these lead heads stuck in there. And he pulled one of those out, and you see him looking at it. He's looking to see if the barb was still on it.
It'd be so rusty.
And he died on those clients. And they'd look at him like, what are you doing? You know, but that was good stuff. But he caught a lot of fish, man. He caught a stringer out of land cut one time about 30 years ago. I think he had 10 fish over 7 pounds in a row or something like that. But he fished a lot of plastic and stuff. But he was just one of those guys that had a lot of money, but he wasn't going to spend it, you know.
That's
that
it.
Was good stuff.
Yeah, I know some of them around. they'll buy one bag of ice to put their customer's fish on in the hot summertime.
Yeah, I love that. I love that stuff, don't you? Yeah.
Oh, boy, that just irks me. I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be a lot of things I might run out of out there on the water, but it won't be gas and it won't be ice.
Ice. I'm with you, buddy. When I leave the dock, my tank is always full, and I'm going to come back. There's going to be at least 15 gallons in it probably, you know, at least or more. You know, I just don't think that there's no excuse not to have gas. You always got time to put gas in your boat, you know.
Well, yeah.
If you're late, you're late, you know.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Yeah. Every morning we gas up and ice up.
Yeah, I'd like to be in a taxi, and the taxi guy goes, hey, man, I'm out of gas here, buddy. You know, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take another cab.
Yeah, call an Uber. Call an Uber for my cab.
Yeah, I'm out of gas, man.
I'm out of gas.
Yeah, that's true. And the ice thing is true because, you know, you get chinchy on ice, and your fish, when you come in, they're just different. You want them to be that cold all the way through, and they're easy to fillet, and they taste better. But you lay them on a small bag of ice, something to kind of get that lukewarm stuff, and kind of mushy when you clean them. That's just the worst thing for a trout. You want them nice and solid.
Well, they start to decompose. I mean, you've got to keep them down there at 33 and 32 degrees packed in ice, or they'll start decomposing on you. Not to the rotten point, but still, it breaks down the enzymes in the meat. Mm-hmm. And even in a tournament, you know, we used to stress that in Trout Masters. These guys want to pack them in slush ice, you know, water and ice. Well, you're not getting that fish to his coldest potential to save that much needed extra weight that you need. If you want to keep that fish, you know, before the breakdown process starts where he loses weight, you got to keep them packed in dry ice, just pure ice, no water.
Right. Yeah. And I think that what I like to do is I'll buy 2 20-pounds and I lay one down in the bottom of the weld, and I'll start putting fish and start busting ice over them, kind of let them lay on that full back and bust the crushed ice over them.
That's exactly what I do.
We're not keeping enough fish to do that anymore. You know, our limit's 5, and, you know, if I got 3 people, they may keep 5 or 6 for dinner. Some of them want to keep a full limit, but still you're talking about maybe 15 fish, you know, trout and a few reds. And not like it used to be where we packed the ice chest full of fish and you had to get the fish here to jump down your boat and help you lift it up.
Well, if we drop the limit to 5 up here, hell, I can just start, I'll just carry 3 little Playmate coolers no bigger than the fish are that I'm catching up here anyway. Hey, I just hand everybody a Playmate with their name on it and say, you keep your 5 in here. Just keep 5, man. Put them some
there
of those already frozen packets in the bottom, and then we'll sprinkle ice over the top of them, man.
Hey, man, there's going to be a time in your life you're going to look back and go, God, I remember when the limit was 5? This limit's going to be 2 here in 20 years or something, you know. You be talking about all these great days where you caught 15, but I hope that's not true. I hope we're coming back the other way.
Well, let's get to the point now. You're embarrassed. You know, you get in a crowd where everybody's sitting around drinking beer or drinking coffee and talking fishing and everything, and you don't even want to bring up the days when you used to go out there and catch 200 and 300 trout and keep every one of them, you know. And kind of like you, you're the only guy I know that pulled a shrimp net 30-something miles and never caught a shrimp in it.
52 miles,
is that what it was?
Yeah. I caught a lug nut. That was all I caught.
Caught a lug nut. Hey, I laughed so hard that morning. I thought about that the whole drive home. I'm going, man, that Cliff Webb's a nut, man.
Man, but what's the odds of, you know, I had that old LTD and, you know, we put that little boat on top of that thing to go frogging. What's the odds of backing over that shrimp net and not see? It was pitch black. We backed over that net laying in the yard. Never saw it. But what's the odds of that net just hooking onto one little thread on the bottom of that car? I mean, that's just and you could drag it all the way across Fulton, all the way across those bridges, and everybody honking and waving at me. And I go, man, these nice people over here, man. We're going frogging and they like it. It's correct.
I pulled out one morning. Instead of putting in there close to Beach City, I was going to pull around and put in at Anahuac. I'm going down Tri-City Beach Road, the road I live on, and I'm looking back there, and there's sparks flying everywhere. And I said, oh, my God, I already got a wheel bearing out. I'm not even a mile from the house. I pull over, It was my anchor. It was tied off to the side cleat on the gunwale, and I'd let it out to wash my boat out, and I forgot to pull it in and put it in the boat. And I'm so lucky that thing didn't grab and catch on something and fly back and go through the side of the boat or take the windshield off. And
Or catch somebody else behind you, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But luckily, you know, that time of morning, there's nobody else on the road usually when we're going fishing. But, you know, I do know a guy one time that left his anchor tied off. You know how you'll be fishing and you'll pull your anchor up and start drifting again, and you'll just dog it off on the side cleat and let it hang right off the side of the boat. Well, I know a guy that did that, and a school of birds worked up, and they got in panic mode, and he showered down on the throttle to take off for those birds. That anchor was bouncing down the side of the boat behind it, and it finally grabbed, and when it slingshotted out of the water, it went right over their head standing at the console and went through the front of his boat.
Oh, my goodness.
God, he's lucky. Yeah.
He's lucky it didn't take everybody's heads off. I mean, that's just things that you don't think about that can happen so fast on the water. That'd kill somebody in a heartbeat, a big old Danforth anchor, you know, 15-pound anchor flying over everybody's heads. That's just crazy, man.
Oh, yeah. It's like these rocks down here, you know, Mickey. We get these guys come down and want to run these boats, you know, 60 miles an hour across these flats. And, you know, once you've made a track across the rocks, you're okay. But, you know, a lot of these guys don't know that these rocks will be out in the middle of the bay, and they'll be a foot from the surface, and they're the size of a, you know, coffee table or bigger. And they will just take you out. And I can't tell you how many times I see guys waving a flag at them. I go over there, and the whole lower unit's gone. I mean, not broke it. The whole thing is gone off the engine. And they raise that motor up. It's just like someone just unbolted it. It's just gone.
Just the trunk sticking down.
It's eerie. Or to break the whole transom of the boat, you know, and it'll just, the motor will be hanging halfway off in the water. But
I know. I always got nervous when I came down there. That's why I bought a show water just for fishing tournaments down there, just so I could – if I was stupid enough to run over one, I was only drawing about 6 inches of water. I could go right over the top of Blaine used to get white knuckle syndrome riding with me and running across those rocks, especially when I'd run on when it'd get real rough, we'd have to go back to Revere Beach. I would run behind the tide gauge barn and jump it on the other end.
you got to make that cut just right around Clayburg.
And then go around Clayburg Point and all that, and all those rocks in the water, and Blaine's looking at me like,
Mickey, that's good stuff right there, buddy. I can't believe you did that. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I learned it when the water was clear and had my track lines through there, and I was going to the dock, and I wasn't going out in the middle of Baffin to run it in that rut. You know, Baffin gets rougher than people think it does, you know, especially when you're in a shallow water boat. I'm telling you.
And Doug Burke still holds the record of 9 lower units in 1 year.
9 lower units in 1 year.
Sir, he holds the record of Baffin Bay. That's a dubious record to hold.
Boy.
Let me tell you what, that was
damn, before Doug.
I tell Doug one day, Doug, he says, nope, you know how he talks. He says, yep, can't go down that shoreline. I got 2 lower units on that shoreline.
Hey, how about that big old rock out there in the middle towards the channel running up through Baffin? It's called Godzilla. I know a guy that hit that twice in 1 week and lost a lower unit both times. It's the same.
That's the only rock in Baffin that's growing. It's growing with metal.
Yeah, it's surrounded by lower units.
It gets bigger every year.
Yeah, Godzilla. Boy, I caught some fish off that rock one time. Man, we put the anchor out and sat there and caught them for 3 hours, and it's just like there was a million fish around it.
And Godzilla, it would be so amazing that we could get on top of my console anchored and just see a black, just like a black string around the rocks, just solid trout.
Yeah, and it was just solid. Yeah, it looked like a school of bait around there, but it was all trout. How about that?
And those thunder sticks came out, those jerk bait thunder sticks, and we throw those thunder sticks out, and you twitch it a couple times, you just see this big old silver flash, and they jerk it, and you had to pull like crazy. Of course, we're using mono to try to get that fish off that rock before he turned around and cut you off.
Yep.
And I remember Doug sitting in the boat with a box of those bombers. He used to use that gold and orange bomber. And they came with these freshwater hooks on them. He would sit there and change hooks all day long because those fish were straightening out those hooks and put new hooks on them. And nothing to go through a half a dozen baits in 1 year. I mean, in 1 day, just incredible how many baits we went through because of mono. You're sitting there fishing 12-pound big game. Come on, man. These big old fish would take these take these lures and take them right back in the rocks, and you're lucky to get them out. It was incredible.
Well, people don't realize those rocks, it's like a razor blade. Now, those rocks down there, that porous stuff on them, that land touches it, it's just like cutting it with a razor blade.
Oh, man. When I fished a lot with the trolling motor, that was a trick to not anchor up, is use a trolling motor. As soon as you hook a big fish, to go toward the rock and try to scare him away from the rock and get him away from the rock if it's real big and get him so you could land him. But anchored up, they're going to go right back into that rock or wade fish. And you can wade up to those big rocks and throw something over the top and get a blow up when you come over the edge. And then it was a tug of war the first 3 feet to get your fish away from the rock. And that kind of made it fun.
Yeah, he had to get his head turned and get keep him from turning the other way to get back in there. You're done. Once he turns that head and goes back in, you can forget it. It's over.
Yeah, we don't quite have that problem like we used to. But
well, no, we don't up here anymore. You know, our big deal, when the way we used to catch them up here, those big ones wading, is they would we'd hook them on those big broken backs or the straight back red fins. And they would stick their head under the mud. They would just completely bury their face in the mud and shake their head down in it and try to get that lure out of their face. And then once you got their head out of the mud, you could just reel them in. They didn't even fight. Their gills, everything was full of mud. And it's just crazy. And especially if you were on oyster, they'd really break you off. So
I shot a video this year. It just shows that I had Robbie Beyer, and he's got a 30-plus fish.
Right, I remember that day he caught those two big ones,
Yeah, well, that last one, I had my phone on slow-mo, and I wasn't carrying a rod. I'm behind him because I really want to get this shot. And this fish comes up, and he's got this corky, and the corky's underneath his jaw. And he comes up, and he just sticks his head down the mud, just wrecks his face down in that mud, trying to rake that corky off. And then he comes straight up and just slams his head on the side of the water. And you think you're keeping your line tight, you know? And I'm watching a slow-mo how that corky is totally slack for a second, and it's just jerking. You can just see the hooks almost jerk out of the fish's face. Then he rolls back over and sticks it back in the mud. I mean, it's just amazing how many fish that we land, we shouldn't land. That we just got lucky enough where that barb stayed in there, because they really, especially on the outside of the mouth, your chances of a fish here in the tall grass, that's what I see a lot here, is they'll hook these fish, they'll play them real easy in this grass is a foot deep or rocks, and they'll just roll them off on the bottom. You know, really got to put some pressure on these fish. It makes a difference.
Yeah. You know, that the way you fight a fish depends on strictly your surroundings, what kind of structure you're in, or if you don't have any, then you can baby him. But, for the most part, you got to get on that fish and get control of him, take over, you know?
Yeah. Our drags are pretty tight here.
You got that right. That's why braid's been a lifesaver. All right, Cliff, I got to run. I'm already out of time, but hey, if you'll throw your number out so people can give you a call if they want to come down and experience it, man.
All right. Well, I'm hoping you're coming down too, Mickey. I hope you guys find a date to come down.
I'm gonna work on that. You got it, brother.
All right, I'm at area code 361-949-07. Thanks, Mickey. Benny,
hey, thank you,
on.
Buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, see you, Cliff. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Benny is counting sheep or doing something, but our producer this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's John Boudreaux.
What's up, man?
I just wonder where Benny went.
I usually go see a man about a dog, but I don't know this.
No, I thought it was popping a squat.
Literally. All right. Well, welcome back to the show, folks. Let's head down south. Let's talk to Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, what is up?
Heck, I'm on my 40th boat right now, Mickey. That's just nuts, man.
I'm still running my old Kenner, man. I can't kill that boat. It just won't.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They really are. Just an old war wagon. That'll
see
a lot of fish
go by,
in the
probably,
bottom of
yeah. Oh, man. I saw one last year that I sold. It, I don't know, probably 20 boats ago or 15 boats ago, and a guy still running that thing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, old Billy Sheikha ran a Kenner forever, didn't he?
He really did, man. that thing was a little rough too, buddy.
Boy, think that boat ever saw any big trout laying in the bottom of it?
Oh yeah, he did. Billy. One day, Billy's at the dock and his boat's just a mess. I mean, there's slime all over the carpet and there's slime. And the rods are all tangled up, and there's blood on the console. And this guy just, oh. And he's making a comment to Billy. He says, man, your boat's dirty. And Billy goes, this ain't no hospital, Doc. Get in the boat.
Oh, that sounds like a Fur Boots boat, man. Talking about gut wagons.
Vision, Texas. You better listen to the outdoor show.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 641 in the Bayou City. Let's run up Richland Chambers Way now. Let's talk to Mr. Royce Simmons, shall we? Royce, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, just good. Having fun.
Is that Benny there with you, or was that clip you just ran?
No, he's back. He's back.
I'm back now.
He's back now. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know, listen, you guys.
I finished up my business and got on back.
That's right. Benny's back.
It spurs several thoughts here. But one, Adam drives an old Kenner. I can't get him to even think about doing anything but just, you know, cleaning up the blood and keep running it. But what do you – you may not have this issue, but what do you do when that upholstery and stuff? Do you just take it to an upholstery area and have them, you know, do it? Or is there a place out there you can get some new upholstery without breaking the bank?
I don't think you know, if it's old Kenner, well, I'm sure – well, it's a Kenner. It's old.
But, it's old, yeah.
It's hard to order anything from them now, but just take it to a upholstery shop. Take your stuff off, and they'll put that rolled and pleated type they'll put the same type of seat back in there, recover them with the same piping on them, everything. Or you can change the colors up if you want to, but believe it or not – the only thing I've had to change out on mine is my leaning post cushion.
That is exactly what he needs to have done. That strip that goes across between the steering and the post, and it's kind of ugly. But you know, if you got, I got a Blue Wave, and you've got ice chest inserts, and you could buy ice chest, you know, with tops on them that have that upholstery. But you can't find anything for like the leaning post and special seats for these old boats.
We got so many upholstery shops around here that really do good work. I've got a guy in Baytown that does really good work, and I've taken my stuff to him, and it's the only way to go.
I figured that's probably it. I'll find me one up in the Dallas area or over where we live. But I'm trying to get everything done right now that we need to get done to get ready for spring. And this last week,
because you won't have time when it starts, you know.
Nah, we didn't get out on the lake a day this last week. The couple of two or three trips we had scheduled came at the end of the week, and it got brutally cold up here. I don't know if it made it that far south yesterday, but man,
yeah, it's cold.
We had a little ice, a little snow, a little stuff coming up from the hill country and cutting a swath right across old Corsicana and Palestine. And
I saw that.
It's you know, not anything to get any really concerned or serious about, but, man, it's just flat cold. So me and my customers today, we don't want any part of that, so. Better days to fish. But yeah, I was laughing at you guys a while ago and stuff. I wish I'd have started 20 years ago documenting and writing a book on some of the things you see on the lake or at the boat ramp. I could be a millionaire.
Yeah, just videoing everything that you've seen over the years, just all the launching, and just you know how it all coincides, everything works together. And I mean, it'd just be hilarious, have 20 years of video from stuff you've seen happen.
I've learned over the years, though, it's, and you can kind of tell, you know, the folks that might appreciate a little help, but the marina we launch out of is a at best two boat type launching, and on a weekday it's not an issue at all, but a Saturday, you know, it gets pretty busy, especially in March, April, May. And I've sat there, boat tied up at the dock waiting on customers, and occasionally I'll ask somebody, would you like a little help? But there's some folks you don't even ask a little help.
Oh, they get offended.
Helping their family.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I had the lady that was trying to back her husband in, and he was no help. He was hollering like heck at her, you know. And I went up to the truck window and said, ma'am, would you like me to help you get that down? It's a little steep and it's a little tight. And she told me in no uncertain terms, with words I can't use on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
No, she didn't need any help. And then you see them coming across. We've got a couple of areas where it's just solid timber, but over the years it's broke off at a full pool level. It's right below the surface. And it's not just an area with a tree or two. It's a forest. And you just wait, and you see that rear end motor pop up, and there goes another lower unit. But yeah, at the same time, it's sad, but, man, you can just see it, and it always occurs on the weekends, and it's usually a brand-new boat guy or gal who hadn't been out there and either learned the lake or learned the motor.
Well, so, you know, getting back to, you know, all the expletives and everything, people mouthing yep. off at you when you're trying to actually offer your help. I mean, it'd yep. be so much easier just to say, well, no, thank you. I appreciate it, but I think I got it. You know, and yep. be nice about it, but just to, you know, some people just, they're just so offensive. It's different times. Yeah, you know, back in the day, you'd never seen that. Nowadays, yeah, it's bad. People are so defensive.
It's road rage, and it's just like people are angry. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is come on a fishing trip and start with an attitude. It's get away from that stuff. Enjoy your day on the lake.
But well, that's what we go fishing for, yeah.
Exactly. But I don't know, maybe it's just a sign of our times, and I don't want to paint the whole populace with that same brush, but no. it's prevalent out there. You just got to kind of, you know, roll with the flow. And in the old days where you tried to be a little more helpful, today it's probably better to keep your mouth shut, which Adam tells me that all the time, you know.
Well, we were talking about that earlier. Plog, when I was talking to him, he's been over in Florida. They were shopping for a big boat for one of his customers. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
he just couldn't believe how different the people are in Florida versus here. And, you know, I experienced that 15 years ago, fishing tournaments over there. You just, hey, it's dog eat dog really? Over there in that part of the world. You bet you, man. Everybody's mad at themselves. They're mad at everything, everybody.
Isn't that something?
That's those northerners come down and live down there.
Well, that's true. Yeah. they a lot of retired from up north. And, buddy, they just
they got mad at all the weather and politics up here and moved down south.
I guess so.
They got mad with them.
Mad at the taxes or something. But
isn't that something?
It is. There's no place like Texas.
It really isn't. As much as we're kind of giving a little shout out to the folks that have a hard time.
Well, they're probably transients from somewhere exactly. else, you know?
Yep. Yep. You see it. And, you know, I make the occasional trip over to DFW and you put however many 5 million people in an area or whatever, you're going to have a problem. But I mean, it is night and day, rural versus city people. It's just different, you know.
Yes, it is.
So, I don't know. I think we're in the best place in the world, not just the country down here in Texas. So I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon.
I
had your radio on, listen to the outdoor show, drinking coffee. It's just flat cold up here, and looks like it's gonna maybe let up a little next week. And I think white bass are up the creeks right now, waiting on that temperature and waiting on that full moon in a couple of weeks. I think we're going to get an early spring, a spawn, and be ready to rock and roll about, I think most of spring breaks that second, third week of March. And that's kind of, we keep our fingers crossed. We got the whites, the hybrids, the catfish, the crappie, all to pick and choose from. And, you know, white bass is kind of what we built that spring break start of our season on. So I think we're going to be okay this year. We get this last little cool snap out of the way. We'll see.
Yeah, I think, you know, I saw some purple martins this week scouting. You know, the males always come down first. And
I saw the robins 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I've been getting robins for a while. Yeah.
So, you know, we got a full lake. We got one gate open. I noticed the Trinity River was way back down. So
yes, sir.
Your bay area may be right to go for springtime too, hopefully.
Well, maybe by May if we don't get any
really
more. It hadn't stopped flowing since September. I mean,
yeah,
it's just been 4 months of just flooding and flooding and flooding.
We've been a part of that. You know, we've had at least some gates open since literally, yeah, September is when we got those first rains.
Yeah.
And then it compounded it in October. And this last week, we got down to just one of 24 gates open, and the little lakes above us that feed the creeks, they're just about at pool. So they'll turn, if we don't get anything major in the next week or two, and I think we got scattered stuff for about a week, but not anything that's going to settle on top of us. So
yeah, Livingston's maybe we'll give you a little relief. Normal pool for the first time in months.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well, good. Good. We're not doing any whites or hybrids yet. I imagine Livingston and some of these other lakes that have a little bit better wintertime bite have something going on. But our water temp got into the 40s and has stayed in the 47, 48, 49 range for about 2 or 3 weeks now. So it's strictly catfishing still. But I can't complain. That's something to do. So
well, and Livingston, they've had it tough all winter up there too. It's hurt a lot of fishing guides with the lake. Just there's been so much water running through it for so long. It's been all tore up, and they hadn't been able to stay on any.
Hadn't been able to get on a consistent bite. Probably.
Even though crappie fishing is normally good this time of year there, they've had a tough go of it. You know, it hadn't even been worth the effort. But now that lake's at normal pool and that water stabilizes and settles out and we get a little warm up, it ought to start happening.
Yeah, I've got a few friends that are still in the bass fishing world, and they were saying the same things about like Rayburn. It had been up so high.
It's 10 feet above pool. That lake's over 150,000 acres right now.
Right. Wow. Yeah, because it's normally, it's over 100,000 at just pool level.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge. They've had the gates open big time for a week, and it's only dropped 5 inches. That's how much water they've got.
Golly, yeah. Well, I know they had a big tournament. I had a couple of friends that were either talking about it or going over to see a weigh-in or something. I wonder if they caught fish during. I'm sure the bass guys, the good ones, they still caught fish.
Yeah, the FLW, they had some strong sacks of fish in it when they had it up there. 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Oh, I'm just going to check in.
All right,
not
man.
Much to report. We're getting ready for spring, doing stuff with boats, and that was my upholstery question. That's one of the last things I need to do to make them prettier.
Unbolt it all and take it into upholstery shop, and they'll do it upright for you.
Yeah, good deal. Appreciate the input. We're here, ready to go.
Okay.
We still got spring break days available, but it's kind of crazy. My regulars, they've already booked me pretty hard. Weekends, April and May, are gone, but I still got a few March Saturdays for the weekend fishermen, so give
All
us
right.
a call.
Throw them a number out.
903-389-4117, gonefishing.biz. We can fix them up with a cabin at the marina we work out of and a boat to fish in, and we'll go have a little fun.
You got it, man. All right, Royce, have
Thanks,
a good
guys.
Weekend. Good to hear from you.
Thank
All right,
you,
buddy.
Guys. You bet.
All right,
Bye-bye.
See you. All right, wrapped her up with old Royce. It's that time.
It is.
We're out of time. Speaking of time, that is the end of it. But you know what? We'll be back here bright and early in the morning, Open Line Fun Sunday, to start the new week off with a warming trend tomorrow, they claim. I'm ready for it already.
Oh, me too.
All right. Well, folks, we'll be back in the morning at 4 o'clock, bright and early, right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.